Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, fam. I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I am Joe McCormick, and it's Monday, the day of each week that we read back messages from the Stuff to Blow Your Mind mailbox. If you have never gotten in touch before, why not give it a try? You can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. We appreciate all the different kinds of feedback we get. Of course, if you ever have corrections you need to make, that's fair game. We really love when people write in with something interesting to add to a topic we've talked about on the show. But whatever you want to send, it's fine. Send it on to contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. Let's see, Rob, I'm going to kick things off today with this response to our first episode on the illusion of control. This comes from Ariel.
All right, let's have it.
Ariel says, "Dear Robert and Joe, I hope this message finds you well. My name is Ariel, a software developer from Argentina, and I'm a huge fan of your podcast. This is the first time I'm reaching out, and I wanted to share some thoughts on your recent episode, The Illusion of Control Part 1, especially regarding the thought experiment about someone else pushing the slot machine button. Your discussion sparked my interest because, in the realm of computer software, the generation of random numbers is a fascinating topic that's much more complex than it may seem at first glance. Generally, the most sophisticated algorithms for generating random numbers significantly consider the physical context, including, at the very least, the precise timing of pressing a button. The outcome, specifically the random number generated, could vary even with a delay of a few milliseconds in pressing the button. That doesn't change the chance, but it might change the outcome. So maybe it was the lady's fault that the player lost the bet. While I don't have specific insights into how slot machines are programmed, the principle usually holds true across various applications. Random number generators, or RNGs, play a crucial role here, producing vast sequences of numbers every second without any discernible pattern. These RNGs can be classified mainly into two types: true random number generators, or TRNGs, and pseudo random number generators, or PRNGs. TRNGs derive randomness from physical phenomena, making it virtually impossible for attackers to predict the sequence of numbers. On the other hand, PRNGs generate numbers based on algorithms and a seed number, which could theoretically be reverse engineered, although the likelihood is exceedingly low. This distinction is crucial because it highlights how even seemingly insignificant factors like who presses the slot machine button or the exact moment it's pressed could influence the game's outcome in a system that relies on PRNGs. I thought this perspective might add an interesting layer to your discussion on control and randomness, emphasizing how deeply intertwined physical actions and digital outcomes can be, even in systems designed to be as unpredictable as slot machines. Thank you for the continuous effort you put into making such thought-provoking content. Your show has been a source of endless fascination and learning for me, and I eagerly look forward to each new episode. Please keep up the great work. Best regards, Ariel from Argentina. Well, thank you so much, Ariel. This is a wonderful email, and it raises a great question about what it really means to cause an outcome and what it really means for an outcome to be random. It's absolutely true what you say, that random number generators can be, for example, time-based. I remember, this is a very primitive example, but I remember when I was in middle school and I was trying to program weird little computer games in QBasic, I would use a command in the QBasic code called randomize timer. And the way I understood that is that the code I was writing would use the computer's internal clock as a seed to generate unpredictable pseudo-random numbers. Because I think if you try to get QBasic to generate a random number without doing a command like that, like to pick a seed out from the timer, it would just give you the same random number every time. Hmm. Not very random.
Yeah.
So in that case, the exact time the code was executed, down to some fraction of a second, would determine what random numbers you got. Slot machines may work differently from that, but it's at least possible that someone pressing the spin button at a slightly different time could lead to different physical electrical processes producing a different output. So a slightly different trigger timing would, in theory, be the difference between winning and losing. But I would still say it is sufficiently random from the point of view of the player, because while there is a difference, that difference is not something that the player could use to predict or control outcomes. And this is what you meant, Ariel, when you said that, quote, this doesn't change the chance, but it might change the outcome. So I think you could compare it to how, unless you're talking about like a practice cheat or something, two regular people rolling a die will inevitably roll the die differently. And in fact, the same person rolling a die different times will roll it differently. But neither one is better than the other at getting high dice rolls. There would be no way to predict in advance which roll will be better unless you're Laplace's demon and you can like algorithmically calculate the future by knowing the position of every particle and photon in the universe, which we're not that demon. We can't do that. So if somebody rolls your dice for you, in one sense, you could say they caused you to win or lose because they physically set the dice in motion. So they physically caused whatever the roll was. But the way we would normally understand someone to cause you to lose would mean that they did something that could have been predicted to lead you to losing or could be predicted to decrease your chance of winning. And so somebody rolling the dice for you or pressing the slot machine button for you would not be that kind of cause, because no matter who does it, the outcome of each roll or spin is not predictable.
Okay.
So again, I think this really plays on like different ideas of understanding what it would mean to cause an outcome or for that outcome to be random. Questions of quantum physics aside, I think you can argue that nothing on the macroscopic scale in the universe is actually random. It's all physically determined by preceding causes. But lots of stuff is functionally random from our point of view. And functional randomness just means that there's no way for the party in question to predict each outcome in a pattern. There's like no predictable pattern to it, even though there might be predictable overall percentages. It's like, you know, when you flip a coin, you can predict the outcome of a series of coin flips in a way, because over time, those coin flips will converge on a 50-50 of heads and tails. So you can predict the overall pattern of outcomes, but you cannot predict with better than 50% confidence what each individual flip will be.
Yeah, like overall, you know that in your career or life of playing Dungeons and Dragons, you know, the D20 rolls are all going to even out. But maybe you're only going to roll five of them tonight. What are those going to look like?
Right, exactly. In the same way, you can know exactly what your true odds of winning on a slot machine are. I think in some sense, they're probably those odds are public or posted and they do reflect your true odds of winning. But that's not very helpful in determining what's going to happen on your next spin, except, I mean, in the sense of telling you that, you know, most spins you're going to lose. And you will probably, and also in letting you know that, you know, your odds are low enough that you will eventually run out of money and stop being able to play. And so that's the end of the game for you.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten the serious listener mail out of the way, let's get to the Weird House Cinema listener mail. This first one I'm going to read, this one is, I guess, half listener mail response and then half Weird House Cinema response. This one comes to us from Goth Mom Light. Hey, fellas. Number one, as a longtime Durani, I was delighted that you named January's listener mail episodes after Duran Duran tunes. However, I'm puzzled as to why. I listened to each of these episodes, but didn't catch any other Duran Squared related stories or references. What am I missing? Is there something I should know? There's nothing you should know other than I, too, am a longtime Duran Duran fan since I first saw the music videos for Wild Boys and View to a Kill on MTV, or I don't even think it was MTV. It was a Canadian channel. It was the CBC. Once I saw those videos, they got their hooks in early, and I've remained a fan, you know, at least a casual fan my whole life, but I got to see them in concert just last year. My wife and I went, and they put on such a great show. It invited me to go deeper into their discography and discover some really great tunes that I wasn't that familiar with, to, you know, rediscover my appreciation for other songs. So that's about all there is to it. And in general, some months for Listener Mail episodes, I'll just randomly choose titles. Well, not completely randomly, since we're talking about randomization, but I'll say pick an artist and be like, okay, this month, all the titles are going to be based on track titles by this particular artist.
I don't always know what these are going to be, but it's a pleasant surprise.
Generally a lot of thought does not go into it. I just kind of go with the guy. We got to name him something. And, you know, I guess sometimes you can name a listener mail episode because you know you have a lot of listener mail related to a particular topic and you can kind of, you know, theme it a little better. But other times you just have to go with something that's going to stand out and, you know, it's not going to be mistaken for an actual episode. All right, but that's not all that Goth Mom Light has to share. She continues here. Quote, I have a Weird House Cinema suggestion for you, Ramekin from 2018. In this indie horror comedy, quote, a college girl is terrorized by a ramekin. Ramekin, of course, is a small little container. We use them all the time in the house for, you know, just anytime you need to, like, you know, put snack mix in it, put a small amount of soup in it, you know, whatever the case may be.
I use a lot of ramekins in cooking. Like if I'm making a stir fry and I have several small amounts of things that I want to add to the pan at different points, I have them in little ramekins.
I've gotten to where if I'm doing something with eggs, I'll break my eggs into a ramekin, either one by one or a few at a time, because that way, if I need to pick a bit of eggshell out of there, I'd rather do it out of the ramekin than out of a bowl with other ingredients or out of, you know, an active frying pan.
Yes, I also break eggs into a ramekin. In fact, I always do that if I'm going to poach the eggs because I don't trust myself to like crack it and then drop it into the water right without like piercing the yolk and all that. Much easier. You put it in a ramekin first and you can just gently lower the ramekin into the water.
Oh, wow. So that's an advanced technique. I don't even try that. It's too much. But anyway, yeah, ramekin is very useful. It's the kind of thing that would never, ever try to destroy us. And I guess it makes sense that somebody would put it in a horror movie at some point. Goth Mama Light continues here. A college girl terrorized by a ramekin for reasons anyone who's ever endured obnoxious roommates can readily understand. Also, Cupcakes, director Cody Clark made it, and it is available on YouTube for free. High fives, y'all. Goth Mom Light.
I've never seen this movie. I love the premise of being terrorized by a ramekin, though I am a little confused. IMDb says this movie is over an hour long. I'm curious how that works with an hour plus runtime, but I want to trust it.
Yeah, it's kind of an outrageous idea, so sometimes you got to go for it.
Guess what, Bango?
What's that, Will?
So iHeart is giving us a whole minute to promote our podcast, Part-Time Genius.
I know. That's why I spent my whole week composing a haiku for the occasion. It's about my emotional journey in podcasting over the last 7 years, and it's called Earthquake House.
Mango, I'm going to cut you off right there. Why don't we just tell people about our show instead?
Yeah, that's a better idea. So every week on Part-Time Genius, we feed our curiosity by answering the world's most important questions. Things like, when did America start dialing 911? Is William Shatner's best acting work in Esperanto?
Also, what happened to Esperanto?
Plus, we cover questions like how Chinese is your Chinese food, how do dollar stores stay in business, and of course, is there an Illuminati of cheese?
There absolutely is, and we are risking our lives by talking about it. But if you love mind-blowing facts, incredible history, and really bad jokes, make your brains happy and tune in to Part-Time Genius.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, this next message comes to us from Mike. It's in response to our Weird House Cinema episode on Blackula. Subject line, Blackula in the show Psych. Mike says, hi, Rob and Joe. In the Psych episode, that's P-S-Y-C-H, it's a TV show. In the Psych episode, This Episode Sucks, the two main characters are trying to go undercover at a vampire club. So they dress like Blackula and Lestat from Interview with a Vampire. Love the podcast. Thanks, Mike. And I looked this up. So I've never seen the show Psych, though I do know about it for a strange reason. I can mention it in a minute. But I looked at the screenshot that Mike shared here, and I checked in. Well, that's Dulé Hill as Mamu Alde there. And I really got to say, the costumes are dead on, both of them, down to Mamu Alde's like bushy eyebrows and sculpted sideburns. They really did their research to match these movie characters. The Lestat costume is also very close. As I said, I've never seen the show Psych, but I'm well aware of it because, Rob, I suspect this must have happened to you at some point also. It's an example of where I had an idea for the premise of a story that I wanted to write, but I did a quick check to see if there was already something out there with this premise, and there was, and it was the show Psych. So the idea was, I was like, what if there was a story where a character was like an amateur detective who wanted to work as a detective but didn't have credentials, and so they just pretended to be a psychic using their actual, like, you know, logically derived insights, but presenting them as one of these psychics who consults with police departments on cases, which has happened in reality in some cases, strangely. So that was my idea, but I looked it up, and that's apparently exactly the premise of Psych.
Yeah, I think I've only ever watched like one episode of it, and I don't remember what my thoughts on it were one way or another. So I don't know, maybe I should revisit it. I know a lot of people love it.
Well, I'll say at least their costume department is crushing it.
All right, this one comes to us from Chris. Robert and Joe, you said you wanted to have listeners tell their stories about seeing Weird House films, including ones featured in earlier episodes. Now you have done it, setting off an old codger's, I mean early elderly man's, descent into nostalgia with the potential for blather. Is this what you two wanted when you became shills for big video rental? It's true, we have become kind of shills for big video rental, or at least locally owned video rental especially.
That's not big.
I mean, it's big to me. It's important to me. But yeah, it's not like corporations and all. I mean, is there big video rental anymore? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
But I will say, yeah, support your local video rental stores if you were lucky enough to have them still. They need you, and deep down, you need them, and you know it. Especially, again, we've discussed, you know, the advantages of physical media when it comes to films. You know, you can count on your video store, as long as it's around, to have those films for you. If you own those discs, you own them, and you can watch them whenever you want. It's very clear, I think, to everyone at this point that you just can't count on streaming sources to have the films you want to watch in the cuts you want to watch them. When you need them, without even getting into like cool extras and so forth. All right, that's a tangent. But anyway, Chris continues, at least you could make it up to me by doing an episode on Creation of the Humanoids, which I seem to recall Robert swearing to do on a stack of credit cards. This is what you get for triggering survivors of the VHS Betamax wars of the mid-70s to mid-80s. Even so, thank you for introducing me to Carol Zeman's Invention for Destruction. I enjoyed watching it tremendously. Chris.
That is a wonderful one. Chris, I think you're the same one who keeps asking for Creation of the Humanoids. We have considered it. We will do it at some point.
There you go. You just swore to do it. So now we have to.
I don't have any credit cards here, but should be coming down the road.
And finally, this is a listener mail. Let's see. I guess the way that these are publishing, I will refer to this again in the core episode tomorrow that we recorded before we recorded this listener mail episode. So slight repetition, but I think it all pans out. This is from an individual on Discord. Their username is Passy Sish or something to that effect. Sorry if I'm missing something here. They said, I think / guess trying to influence the dice result is not the main reason for rolling important checks differently in Dungeons & Dragons. Building suspense is fun, and you might roll it more properly to ensure that there is no argument about the result. On the other hand, there are a lot of fun rituals, like praying to the almighty dice god, or sending quote-unquote bad dice to jail.
This is a great point. So this is touching on something we talked about in the first Illusion of Control episode, that sometimes people appear to be concentrating over a dice throw, as if like it'll make a difference to them getting rolling the number they want. And that I do think that is actually operative in how people behave. But there are other reasons people might appear to be concentrating over a dice throw. For example, to make sure that the dice throw is legal, like, so, you know, they throw it in the right area, it doesn't bounce off the table or something and get an invalid result, or maybe hit something and displace it if you've got like miniatures set up on a tabletop RPG. So, you know, you might roll carefully so you don't hit that. So there are legitimate reasons to concentrate on a dice throw, I guess, apart from thinking it will help you get the number you want, though I do still think people do it to try to get the number they want. And then the second thing you say is about building suspense. I think that's a legitimate thing too. Yeah, it's like a drum roll. It's like a, you know, acting it out so everybody at the table can have fun anticipating the result of this pivotal event.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, we didn't even touch on the use of dice towers and so forth. There's a and even sometimes, yeah, physical dice jail in which to punish a particular fencing role and so forth.
I've never done that, but do you literally have a dice jail?
I don't. I don't go that far, but I see examples of it. You can buy like little 3D printed dice jails and so forth. And people seem to have a lot of fun with it.
You should have like a pit of scorpions you can drop the dice into.
Yeah, if it's fun, I say go for it. I've also seen people engage in this when they have a lot of dice they bring, like multiple here. Like me, I tend to just have the one set. I have the one D20 I always use. And I probably get a little attached to that one. If like this is the D20 that is, you know, it's failed me plenty of times, but it's also rolled some great 20s. It's, I don't know, it's just part of the ritual. And I can't punish this particular D20. It's been with me a long time.
All right, should we call it there for today?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and close the mailbag here. But hey, keep them coming. Keep writing in. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of Discord, if you want to access the Discord, shoot us an email and we'll send you the invite. In fact, I just did it just now. I just remembered that somebody had just requested it via email and I went in and sent that to them while we were recording this episode. And yeah, as usual, we'll remind you that listener mails air on Monday, core episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, short form episode on Wednesday, and Weird House Cinema on Fridays, in which we set aside most serious concerns to just talk about a weird film.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, JJ Posway. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, fam. I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.